are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So sin is often understood as a violation of God's will or a departure from divine righteousness. Discussing the theological roots of sin, such as its origins in the fall of humanity according to Genesis, or its role in theological doctrines like the origin of sin, can provide insights into how sin is conceptualized within Christian theology. So we are joined on the line by Pastor Musa Gwiza here, and he doesn't have 2 minutes to share today. No? He has 20 minutes. Fundisi, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you?
I am good. I just had to tell them, you know, that now is not the time for 2 minutes. Now we have more time for you to share with us.
Yeah, 2 minutes repeated by 10 gives us 20 minutes.
Bona, you are on the mark, then, Fundiswam. Pastor, thank you, you know, for coming through to speak to us. But before we start the conversation, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray?
Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, we pray and ask for your guidance and sustenance, especially as you delve into your holy word. Particularly this subject of sin, of our own Lord, we cannot understand, we cannot fathom. We, however, pray that you minister through us, through the ministration of the unfallen angels, and even the guidance of the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. When everything has been said and done, after this session, we bring back glory and honor and praise and prayers to you, for to you only they are due. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we do pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, what is the biblical definition of sin, you know, and how does it relate to disobedience or the rebellion of God's will? And yeah, what is sin basically?
The Bible plainly teaches that sin stands at the very foundation of its problems. Mm-hmm. It destroyed the beauty of the perfect world that God had created and perverted our relationships with God as well as with other human beings.
Okay.
But coming back to your question, what is sin and what does the Bible say about its results? Mm. We'll come to that one later. But biblically spoken, sin is described in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, that it is the transgression of the law.
Okay.
In other words, a failure to act by anyone who, according to James 4:17, who knows the good he ought to do and he doesn't do it. But it doesn't end there.
Mm.
Romans 14, verse 23 adds that whatever is not from faith is sin.
Mm.
Yes, one broad inclusive definition of sin is given also in Matthew 12:30, etc., that it is at any deviation from the known will of God, either of neglect to do what he has specifically commanded or of doing what he has specifically forbidden.
Mm-hmm.
So sin knows no neutrality. Jesus says in Matthew 12:30 that he who is not with him is against him.
Yeah. So, Mfundisi, you know, oftentimes we are told that we have free will. You know, God does not force anything on us. We have free will and so forth and so on. But now that free will that we have, you know, what role does it play in the commission of sin? And how does that relate to God's sovereignty and moral responsibility?
What actually happened is, I'll constantly take you back to the Bible.
Mm.
In the use of such words as free will, power of choice, etc. Adam and Eve were created perfect and were given a power of choice.
Mm.
And according to Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, their loyalty now would be tested on one thing.
Mm.
And that is the issue of the fruit. The fruit was not given. Remember when God created in the 6 days, his divine pronouncement on each day of creation was, behold, it is good. And I believe that on the day that trees were created, the it is good of God included also the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So there was nothing bad per se with the tree. But the tree had been given as an instrument to test the loyalty of Adam and Eve.
Okay.
This the tree was given as an instrument with which Adam and Eve were to show their correct use of their freedom of choice, that they were to use it to choose to do according to God's commandment.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, God had promised that in obedience, they would live long, but in disobedience, they would die.
Mm-hmm.
But they chose otherwise, using their freedom of choice.
Mm-hmm.
So we are given now. So Adam and Eve were created perfect and were given a power of choice.
Mm-hmm.
Their loyalty, according to Genesis 2, 16 and 17, would be tested on one thing, the tree. But in Genesis 3, verses 2 to 4, we see now Eve was deceived.
Yeah.
And was promised that she would be wise if she disobeyed.
Mm.
If she disobeyed, according to Genesis 3, verse 5.
Mm.
And because now they disobeyed Adam and Eve, Satan hijacked the planet and became known as its prince.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first parents were deceived into thinking that God is cruel and that the devil is kind, is a kind being.
Yeah.
But John chapter 8, verse 44 now gives us a picture that soon Adam and Eve discovered that they had been deceived into thinking that God is cruel.
Mm.
So they discovered that God was right. Sin actually brought death, and that the devil is a liar.
Mm. Mm.
So by and large, that is sin.
Yeah, so here I'm putting this, you know, my producer is very knowledgeable and creative with the words here. But there is sin of commission and sins of omission. I don't know what those things are. Maybe Pastor, you are the theologian, you would know, you know. But the question is, in what ways do sins of commission and sins of omission differ in their moral implications and spiritual consequences?
Yeah, I think I've already alluded that to in my definitions.
Mm-hmm.
You would see that on one part, my definition explained sin as things that we do.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other definitions, sin is what we do not do, but that we know that we should do.
Basically,
that's what the commission and omission thing is all about.
Mm-hmm.
For example, John 3:4 says that sin is the transgression of the law. Transgressing, that is a doing. That is a doing with.
Yes.
So that is a commissioning. Mm. But when you go to 4 verse 17 of James, one who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, that is an omission. You can see that is an omission there. Mm.
Okay,
you know?
Okay.
But by and large now, extending the question, the answer to the question now,
mm-hmm.
You will see that now involves thoughts as well as actions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, frequently sin is spoken of only in terms of concrete and visible acts of law breaking.
Mm-hmm.
But Christ says that being angry with someone violates the sixth commandment of the Decalogue.
Yeah.
You shall not kill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, according to Exodus 20 verse 13. And that the lustful desires actually transgress the command. You shall not commit adultery.
Mm.
So sin is therefore involves not only overt disobedience in actions, but also thoughts and desires.
Mm. Okay.
Yes. And so what does that do now to a human being? You see now, that's where you see now sin and guilty. That sin actually produces guilt.
Yes.
From the biblical perspective, guilt implies that the one who has committed the sin is liable to punishment.
Mm.
And because according to Romans 3:19, all are sinners. All of us are sinners.
Mm.
So the whole world is guilty before God.
Mm.
If not cared for properly, guilt devastates the physical, the mental, and the spiritual faculties.
Yeah.
And ultimately, if not resolved, it produces death. For the wages of sin is death.
True.
So the antidote for the guilt is forgiveness, according to Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, which results in a clear conscience and a peace of mind. And this forgiveness, God is eager to grant repentant sinners.
Yeah. So no, sin, what a very thing that, you know, entered them. But then, Mpundisi, now looking at some examples of social sins in contemporary society, and how can now we as Christians, or people who do want to be Christians, you know, because we shouldn't leave them out, address these systematic injustices, because we know that they are there.
Yes, for sure. History reveals that Adam's descendants share the sinfulness of his nature. You know, going back even to people like David in Psalms 143 verse 2 even says, in your sight, no one living is righteous. You know? So we do share in sin. And universally, humanity is sinful.
Yeah.
There is no one who does not sin. 1 Kings chapter 8 verse 46 says, Solomon even says in Proverbs 20 verse 9, who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? So we are sinners by commission, we are sinners by omission. It's like, let's say there's a major supply of, I just want to explain what it means that everyone is a sinner by virtue of being born in planet Earth. What is the major water supply where you are at?
Rainwater.
Rainwater. So what is the source for that water? Is it a dam or what?
I think it's a dam.
It's a dam. Yes. Suppose now somebody pollutes that dam. One person pours chlorine, whatever it is, what is it, cyanide, into the dam mischievously. What happens to everyone who is sustained as far as water is concerned by that source? He gets affected, isn't it? But who caused the pollution? It is one man.
Yeah.
So that's exactly how it is. When you say by one man, sin was opened, and therefore everyone is sinful by one man. It means that Adam polluted the source or the environment with which all of us were born, which is the planet Earth.
Yeah.
That's exactly how it means, that one person polluted the source of the water for the whole town, and so the whole town was affected.
Yeah.
So universally, all humanity is sinful, either by commission or by omission. But by virtue of being born in the sin-infested planet Earth, everyone is a sinner.
So, Mpundisi, is there a need for us to understand the difference between mortal sins, which are the ones that I like the grieving of the Holy Spirit today, you know, it's finished with you, you know, and our venial sins where yeah, it's, you are sinning, but you know, it's lesser, it's not like, you know, grieving the Holy Spirit. Is there really a need for us to understand the difference or the weighting of the sins, or sin is sin, you know, we don't need even to worry that murder is much more sin than stealing sugar, but sin is sin.
Yeah, rightly put. Even the commandment does not specify when it says thou shalt not steal. It just ended there, thou shalt not steal. It does not specify what amount of stealing constituted the sin in the eye of God. But the stealing is stealing. The motive and the action. In fact, the action fulfills the motive. And the motive now, that's what shows the disalienation from God. That's what determines the disobedience, that you are disobedient. The stealing of the sugar, whatever, of whatever amount, is actually the fruitage, but the root is of disobeying God. The root is that's where the depth of sinning now is. In other words, what we may have lacked is the opportunity for killing, for stealing, for robbing the bank, and you only emptied your desire in stealing the sugar, because that's what was in front of you. Otherwise, what desire? If you had been given an opportunity to rob the bank, you would have robbed the bank. So the motive, the root, is the disobedience, is what constituted the sin.
Yes.
All these other things are just the mere actions; they are mere fruits of it.
Yeah.
So still, sin is a sin. Sin is a sin. Whatever the amount of what has been taken, whatever the age, the status, the race, the gender of the person who may have been raped or killed, but the sin is a sin.
Okay. So, Mpundisi, there have been quite a number of discussions, not necessarily debates, you know, but discussions regarding the first sin, the origins of sin. You know, others saying, no, it was Adam. Others saying, no, 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 it was Eve. You know, and that debate in terms of what happened there in the Garden of Eden. But these teachings, Mfundiswami, about the original sin, how does it now shape our understanding of human nature and the need for redemption? Because there's that bit of a division, Yana, even though it's not that much of a hectic thing. But us understanding the original sin and how everything now became sinful, you know, how does that now, you know, help us with the need for redemption?
First and foremost, I want to correct the notion or the misconception that sin came because of Eve. And it appears as if Adam was not there in the picture when it first happened. When you go to Genesis chapter 3 from verse 1, number 1, well, that's where we see now the discussion. The very strange discussion, of course, of a snake, serpent, and Eve. And we all know that the serpent represented the devil. It was the devil who was actually talking with Eve. Because the serpents don't speak.
Yes.
And then after they had spoken, the serpent promises whatever he promised to Eve as to be the result in disobedience of God. Eve, in verse 6, the Bible says that the woman saw that the tree was good for food. You see here, for the first time, a human being is now prerogated in courts with the determining that which is good from that which is bad. It is for the first time. All along in chapter 1 and chapter 2, it is God who is saying that it is good day 1, it is good day 2, it is good day 3. But for the first time, we are seeing a human being. The woman is saying that the tree is good for food. You know, a lesson there is that it is only God's prerogative. It is God's prerogative only to determine that which is good from that which is bad.
Yes.
But coming back to our story, the woman, yes, she says that the tree is good. And then it's pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise. The Bible says she took of its fruit. And what does she do? She ate. And then the next sentence says, she also gave to her husband with her, with her, with her, with her. So Adam was there when all this thing was happening. He was there. He was there right there when all this thing was happening. I know there could be people who are nodding around you. I can hear you laughing. But yes, Adam was with her according to this verse. He was there. He was there. Besides, if Adam was not there, why was he not there? That was another question for another day. That is family life.
If
he was not there, why was he not there? That also constituted a sin. Now, and so sin has entered now. Praise be to God, because yes, sin has entered through one man. But John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. So through one man, We are in a downfall, headed towards death as the wage of sin. But through one man again, Jesus, we have a hand extended towards us so that any sinner who is penitent is able to grab that hand, will not die, but will have eternal life. So those sin has provided us to die, but God has provided for us to live, eternal life through Jesus.
No, the reason why I was happy then, Fuentes, me, I always say, guys, me, I'm tired of these sermons of saying Eve. It was not Eve. So that's why I was happy, you know, when the moment you started, I was like, yes.
Yeah, go to that verse. Adam was with her. Adam was with her.
So, Pundis, you know, I think the issues of seeing and understanding a lot of the things that are associated with is very much critical. And today, you know, we've started it nicely there, so we're going to continue tomorrow. But today, Pundis, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray that us, I always say us, because we may never know where's what is falling. Us who are burdened with sin, you know, us or who are burdened with the guilt of the sins that, you know, we commit daily, if you can just pray, Mfundisi, that, you know, we may understand the forgiving power of the Lord that we worship.
Let us pray. Oh, Father, who art in heaven, thank you for showing that you were there among us as we are delving into this subject of study. Thank you very much, Lord, for making it very clear what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:22, that in Adam we all die. But also thank you very, very much, Lord, that through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all have sinned. However, you have given us Jesus. You loved the world. You gave us your only Son, that through him all of us may have eternal life. And you say that in John 4:15:45, if we abide in you, because without you we can do nothing. Therefore, help us, Lord, to abide in you constantly, even through these studies. May they help us to abide in you so that we do not die, but that we can have eternal life. Thank you very much, Lord, for hearing our prayer, and continue blessing even the programming of the day. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mpundisi, thank you so much for coming through. Till we chat again tomorrow.
It's my pleasure always.
Amen.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.